Ooh, wow, that went live really quick. Snappy today, Todd Whitehead.
Good work. Snappy.
I'm actually reading Fortune's Pond by Rachel Bach.
Oh, cool. It's a good book.
Yeah, it's really good.
I like it. I liked it a lot.
Are you looking at the Dystopia?
Mm-hmm. Didn't we read Throne of the Crescent Moon? Or did we just interview?
It was certainly an alt that we both read. It may not have been an actual.
It's on my want to read list. I don't even have it as read.
Oh, yeah, I've read it. It was really good.
Okay. It was good?
Mm-hmm.
Of course it was good.
What about Jonathan Strange?
No, I lemmed that forever ago. It's too long. I have to do something short right now. That'd be hard.
We could do Throne.
Is there any series or anything coming out? Mm-hmm. Any interesting tie-ins?
Oh, like TV?
Yeah, just trying to see if there's something like an opportunity somewhere for something we haven't.
Yeah. Well, there is the Dark Tower coming next year.
Yeah, I have been meaning to reread that.
We might want to hold off until the movie actually is close. Yeah. You could do a Harry Potter play. Half the audience hates. Never mind. I was about to say we could do Neil Gaiman again. It's been almost 10 years. But then you'd want to do American Gods because the show's coming up, but that was the one we read. So.
And we also read Good Omens.
Yeah, that's true. We did hit him again with Terry Pratchett.
Yeah.
What about Daniel Abraham, The Dragon's Path?
Oh, that might be fun. Where'd you see that?
It's number 46 on the Listopia.
Oh. I just went right by it. What's that about?
We haven't done Raymond Feist.
That's true.
We've never done Karen Miller either.
Rifthor Saga. It's a magician story, though.
Too much magician.
Yeah, I feel like we've done a lot of magician.
Daniel, I feel like I read that book and it wasn't heavy on the magician. They all have magic though, so.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait, have I read this? I remember a character named Pug. Or did I just read about it?
I read it. That's what Goodreads tells me. No, I did. I remember. Ooh, what's... Oh, that's definitely about a magician. Never mind. What's Anne Bishop, Daughter of the Blood? Number 92. It's got 4.14 rating.
Hmm. The Black Jewels.
Sounds intriguing.
Ugh, all of this feels so like... No offense meant to Anne Bishop, but all of this feels very like stuff we've read a million times. I'll ping the Twitters, see if anybody.
Could read a Star Wars book and say it's a space fantasy.
All right, well, I pinged Twitter, so we'll see if we get some good suggestions from that.
Okay, cool. So let's talk about the show. Hey, Veronica.
Talking about spectacles.
Excuse me? Cool. Did you have any questions about the
No. Room?
Okay.
Never. Never had any
Should
questions.
You have any questions?
I don't think so.
All You're good with the stuff I assigned you?
Yeah.
There's a lot of specs in that Roku one, but...
That's okay.
It's okay. You're up to the challenge.
Yeah.
Let's start this video.
Okay.
Hey, we're live on the videos now, too.
Huzzah.
Hello, video watchers.
The watchers of video.
We are the watchers on the video. And now our watch has ended. Get it? Because, yeah, you know what I'm saying. So since Roger's not here, I'm going to try something dangerous.
Uh-oh, that doesn't sound good.
I'm going to try to show screenshots during our top stories.
Cool.
The way I'm going to do it is to just have the screenshots up the whole time we're doing top stories. That way it will be easier to transition. I don't know if that makes for optimal video, but that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. Godspeed.
Godspeed, John Glenn. You calling me John Glenn?
I'm so burpy. I'm sorry.
Oops.
Sorry. Okay. I will definitely mute that from happening.
All right.
In the future.
It's good pre-show, though.
Mm. Makes for good pre-show. I give good pre-show, what can I say? Okay. Spectacles.
Spectacles, watch and wallet. I left one out. Or two, depending on how you look at it. I think we could just start. You want to just start?
Sure.
Let's do it. Here we go. Daily Tech News Show is powered by its audience, not outside organizations. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, September 26, 2016. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Tom Merritt. Big thanks to Peter Wells and Justin for doing the show yesterday from Australia. But it's Monday, which means Veronica Belmont is here.
Hey, hey.
How you feeling?
Good.
Rested?
Mostly good.
Tanned?
Little burpee.
You're tanned, burpee, and ready.
I'm not sure why I'd be tan. Actually, Ryan noticed a funny thing in that my face is very pale and everything from the neck down is tan because I wear sunscreen on my face every day.
But you don't put it on your arms?
Apparently not enough.
No, okay. Yeah. Roger Chang, who is actually off today traveling, his wife said he has a tech tan, which means he only gets tan on the parts of him that are showing outside of his T-shirt.
Yeah, that's like the new version of the farmer's tan. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, folks, we are going to talk about Snapchat's new purpose as a company and their spectacles that they announced over the weekend. Want to note that encrypted messaging app Signal is now available as a Chrome extension for use on the desktop, and you can sync it with your mobile apps. Still waiting to find out how it handles the keys, but that's an interesting development. Now, here are some more top stories. All right, since Roger Chang is not here, for those on video, I am going to attempt to show you some of the screenshots that we normally that he normally does for us. So bear with me. We're just going to have screenshots up a lot. Android Police says it has confirmed independent sources saying that Google is developing a 12.3-inch laptop running the combined Android Chrome OS Andromeda operating system. This one's been rumored for a long time. The laptop is being called Bison, or informally Pixel 3, inside of Google's walls, although that's not necessarily a final name. It would include a fingerprint sensor and stylus support. The stylus would be apparently pretty integral to it. Android Police is confident that Andromeda is distinct from the practice of just bringing Android apps over to Chrome OS. They say instead it's an attempt to merge Chrome OS features into Android. In fact, they speculate it might be more like Android than it is like Chrome OS. The target release of the laptop is the third quarter of next year, 2017. The price right now would be around $799, though all of that could change. And then 9to5 Google says their own sources also confirm this laptop, as well as a Huawei Nexus tablet that will run Andromeda and come out before the laptop.
Interesting. Well, that's cool. A lot of new product stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing about this is the fact that for a long time we've waited for Google to decide between Android and Chrome OS, right? And if these sources are correct, they're not going to do that.
They're just going to merge them.
They're just going to bring some of the Chrome OS features into Android to give you a desktop operating system and provide Android with those missing pieces. I have a Pixel C, which is supposed to be able to be used like a laptop. I'd never use it like a laptop. You can't very easily use Android as a laptop, but you could bring in some of those Chrome OS app functions, some of that word processing function, the things that they've learned about a desktop OS, bring that into Android. I don't know exactly how that happens, though, how that plays out in practice.
And on the iOS side, I'd just be happy if we could get messaging apps, messages apps, I guess, on OS X, as opposed to just being able to only use them on iOS 10.
Oh, you mean I would want to be able to use messages across my platforms instead of just on Apple devices. That would be nice if I could.
Oh, that would be nice too. But I want my little jib jabs on my computer.
You're really into the jib jabs, huh?
I want my jib jabs.
Would you buy a laptop that ran an Andromeda OS? Would you want to use a laptop running that operating system?
Me? No.
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 Not no. But I mean, what do you think of that play that they're sort of, they're getting into the Windows OS 10 area there?
Yeah, no, I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think that it'll be nice to kind of combo the best features out of both OSs and into one device. I think that'll be a cool experiment and to see how that plays out. Moving on, Roku announced a new line of players. The Roku Express costs $30 with a faster processor than the previous streaming stick or Roku One. The Roku Express Plus is $40 and includes composite cable inputs. Both have that stick form factor. $80 with 4K support at 60 frames per second, faster quad-core processors, and dual-band 802.11ac Wi-Fi. The Premier Plus is $100 and supports HDR, Ethernet, and microSD. It also has the headphone jack on its remote. The Roku Ultra is $130 with 4K HDR plus optical audio, USB, voice search, and a lost remote button right on the box. Roku's universal search works across 100 services now, and the models are available for pre-order and ship October 9th.
I love this. This is exciting. It makes HDR accessible in the Roku. It brings down the prices of the Rokus.
Yeah, prices are right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The only thing I don't know is, for the first time, I'm not certain I need to upgrade, and only because I don't have a 4K TV yet. If I get an HDR 4K TV, then I'll definitely want to get one of these. So,
yeah. But it's nice now that people who are maybe buying a Roku for the first time are kind of future-proofing themselves, at least for the short term.
Yeah, if they get the Premiere. Although I think
this is how I talk about technology now. Future-proofing for the short term.
Future-proofing for the short term, because future-proofing for the long term is just not possible.
It's impossible.
Yeah, you can't forecast out that far. Yeah. I get what you mean by that. With you're saying like, hey, I may not get a 4K TV right away, but I will eventually, and not long from now. So I might as well future-proof myself for the short term.
For at least for my next television.
Yeah, exactly. and the stick form factor, I think, is becoming extremely popular. Now, all credit to Google for popularizing that with the Chromecast. They certainly didn't invent it, but it kind of took off after they put out the Chromecast. And so now we've got a couple of different takes on that. And all, again, entry level for cord cutters, granted not 4K, but extremely affordable. $30. You can just like throw a couple in your... I mean, this undercuts the price of the Chromecast. And it was always the thing with the Chromecast, like, why wouldn't you buy a few at $35 and just throw them in your bag?
And I do enjoy that find remote button over there on the actual device. That should be spread across many different kinds of set-top boxes.
Yeah. I would like Logitech to put that into the Harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, for folks who've always been attracted to Plex and the ability to have your own media server but didn't want to run it on their own PC, we have good news. Plex Cloud, in partnership with Amazon Cloud Drive, will let you host your files remotely. You can add files to your Amazon Cloud Drive from any device, then stream them using the Plex app. Now, it's not free. You'll have to pay for the Plex Pass service to take advantage. That's $60 a year, but that gives you unlimited storage, at least in markets where Amazon is allowed to deliver unlimited storage. And Plex says they'll work with people who are in those few markets that aren't. You can sign up for the beta at plex.tv/cloud.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think this will open a Plex to a lot more people who didn't want to have to even just, maybe they didn't want to mess with administering a PC as a server, mm-hmm. or maybe they just didn't want to leave a PC on all the time because it's a power hog in a lot of cases.
Mine sounds like an airplane landing, so I can understand that.
Do you guys use Plex?
No, we don't. No, but this might be a good time to try. Who knows?
I was going to say, like, this is the easiest Plex that has ever been. And even at $60 a year, it's not ridiculously expensive.
$60 a year is like nothing for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's cheaper than Hulu or Netflix, for sure.
In terms of content stuff, yeah, that's pretty good. Speaking of content, Bloomberg reports that Disney has engaged a financial advisor to evaluate possible bid for Twitter. Salesforce is reportedly working with Bank of America to consider a bid as well. Disney, eh? Fascinating.
Yeah. So, and we've heard rumors about Google being interested, et cetera. Whenever somebody actually goes up for sale, a lot of people get interested because they just want to take a look at the books.
Check it out.
Yeah, exactly.
What's going on.
It sounds like Disney and Salesforce are being considered serious bidders. And
kick the tires a little bit.
Yeah. We talked about Salesforce last week as sort of the idea being they would want the analytics, they'd want the back end and that customer service aspect of it. Disney, on the other hand, this would be a media play for them. I could see, you know, with the NFL Thursday Night Football on Twitter, I could see a play for ESPN to use Twitter.
Yeah, I think this is the Disney thing still feels a little weird to me, but I do understand in the ways that you just described. I still feel like Google is the best bet personally, just because they really have not nailed down the social stuff. And even if you consider Twitter to be more of a content company, which I guess Google, yeah, even that, I mean, they just haven't done very well in that area. So it would make sense to me that Twitter would fill some of those gaps for them.
Yeah,
and they could lose money on that and it would be fine for them. Why would they don't even care.
Yeah, they could let Twitter be a break-even business and take advantage. Again, they could throw the analytics in their pot, not that they need them, but they certainly wouldn't mind having another signal in there. They certainly have a need for social, as you mentioned. For some reason, though, I look at Twitter as a news content organization these days.
Right, content.
And, mm-hmm. and I know a lot of people do. And so I feel like its best fit is with a media company. Now, that doesn't mean Google couldn't, like, fold it into YouTube, right? Like, all of a sudden, it makes sense as a news company there. You could definitely solve is a strong word. You could definitely help the YouTube social situation by having tighter integration with Twitter. But I don't know, something about Google just doesn't feel like a perfect match. It makes sense on paper, but my gut says it just doesn't fit. Like, Twitter needs to remain a brand and an independent entity. Sure, YouTube has remained a brand and independent entity under Google, so it's not unprecedented.
Not completely, but yeah, I mean, for the most part, disclosure alert, your wife works for YouTube.
Yeah, definitely disclose that, because that is true. If you had to pick the perfect company to buy Twitter, could you? I'm not sure.
I think for me, Google makes the most sense. And otherwise, everyone else is just kind of weird to me.
Yeah. Well, if you've been paying attention to Daily Tech headlines, you've heard this about the attack on Krebs on security. After a withering denial of service attack on his website, security researcher Brian Krebs posted about the democratization of censorship. He points out that the tools to bring a site offline, DDoS it out of existence, are not only in the hands of governments. His site is back up under Google's Project Shield, which protects journalists particularly from censorship by denial of service. Krebs also noted that lax security on IP-connected devices like internet cameras, DVRs, Internet of Things, are providing a platform for bots that conduct these attacks, and has called for stronger security implementation on all connected devices.
Well, I think that's just good to have in general, yeah.
Well, it's concerning to me that you have to go to a Google program in order to be able to be heard. Like, that as a precedent is unnerving. Now, I know that Google's Project Shield is meant to be content neutral and it protects journalists, et cetera, but we all know Google has a track record of removing things that they don't feel like they want to do anymore. I'm not saying that will happen with Google's Project Shield, but I feel like that's a good temporary measure, that but we need a more sustainable way of protecting journalists from denial of service attacks, or protecting anybody from denial of service attacks. And I think that's what Krebs is getting to when he says we need to lock down the connected devices out there.
Yeah, the Internet of Things can cause a pretty big hole, security hole, I mean, for a lot of people. And I think it's, you know, even just on the surface level of like Alexa being able to open up August locks, for example, like that should make anyone uncomfortable. But yeah, the fact that you can also get in through a DVR, like people aren't thinking that way. So there's a lot of work to be done in terms of making the connected devices and Internet of Things devices to be a lot more secure.
People don't think about updating the firmware on their routers. They assume that's handled by the ISP, and it isn't always.
It is not.
Yeah, people don't think about making sure to update their light bulbs with firmware.
Yeah, all this new stuff we have to think about. Yeah. See, that would be a good product, like a product that tells you when to update the firmware on all your other products.
Yeah, or a marketing advantage for an Internet of Things device would be like, we make sure to keep you updated. We go mm-hmm. to extra lengths to provide security updates and make them easy. That's what the average person wants to hear. Is like, mm-hmm. I don't have to run my own light bulb server and maintain it. I just want to screw it in and know that, hey, it continues to get updated. And, you know, that's a slippery slope. If you allow the company to do the software updating, you might be allowing them to do other things or people to hijack that system. But
smart light bulbs.
Yeah, but Krebs is pointing out we need a better way than the almost lack of any kind of security that has been on these devices. Sometimes they don't even have firmware updates. They just don't protect themselves very well.
This is the world we live in now.
Yep.
I guess so. Speaking of the world I kind of want to live in, Uber products head Jeff Holden told Kara Swisher at a conference this past weekend that Uber is looking into a vertical takeoff and landing service. VTOL aircraft can hover, take off, and land vertically, but unlike helicopters, have fixed wings instead of rotors. Holden believes the technology could be offered for short-haul flights within the decade and eventually be autonomous. He said craft could land on top of buildings to help reduce commute times in cities. Airbus's Project Vahana is researching using VTOL craft as air taxis. So not the first people to come up with this idea.
No, definitely not. And it's that way that Uber has of saying we are going to leap ahead lately, right? Like with the self-driving cars in Pittsburgh. For mm-hmm. instance, they are doing a lot to try to be on the next curve, be on the next boat, and not continually have to worry about being disrupted. And that's really smart of them. This does seem a little bit like science fiction, though, no?
It seems like, too, that it would be another thing that only the rich people can afford. Like, you can, the plebs just drive in cars. I'm taking my VTOL hovercraft into the office this morning. We're landing on the roof. We'll be there in time for our stand-up meeting at 10.
Well, and that,
you know, like, it feels like this automatically, and I know it always starts there. It started there with black cars for Uber as well, but, you know, that's how you get that adoption going, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, taking an aircraft to work sounds hoity-toity. Landing on a roof sounds hoity-toity. But the idea of being driven anywhere by someone also used to feel somewhat like the province of the wealthy.
Yeah, totally.
And cabs democratized that quite a bit. And then Uber democratized it even more. It still isn't available for everyone, and that's why they did Uber Pool. And they, you know, like, they certainly have a track record of trying to bring the prices down and make things more accessible, certainly out of business interest. I don't think out of any kind of altruism. Mm-hmm. So they would want this to eventually be available. I don't know how much this sort of thing is going to end up costing, but you're right. It seems like it can't be cheap.
Just the fuel alone. Well, it could be electric VTOLs.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's what they're after. You also have to do a lot to, you know, to make a helipad these days. Not that I know, but I would assume you have to do a lot to get clearances and regulation. And it's not, that's not a cheap process either.
I feel like I just see helicopters like hovering all around San Francisco, or I see those little prop planes just flying around. I feel like those just show up somehow.
Well, there's lots of FAA rules about where they can fly, and they have to.
I'm sure someone
will tell us. And stuff, right? But yeah,
someone will tell us.
They I guess they could just piggyback on the existing helicopter infrastructure and land at helipads. Given that, assuming that there's not a lot that has to be done to a helipad to adjust it to VTOL. But yeah, vertical takeoff and landing, a hyperloop, like, and self-driving cars.
The future is now, Tom.
Yeah, 25 years from now, we're not going to be using any, like trains may be the only thing that exists right now that we'll continue to use, except for that old man Johnson out in Utah insists on driving his own car.
It's very, Utah's very large.
And I don't mean Scott, because he would definitely do a self-driving car. thanks to all those who participate in our subreddit. Submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. You guys are the best and you make the show better. So get out there and vote. Over the weekend, Snapchat renamed itself Snap Inc. Apparently, they go around telling people they're a camera company now.
Yeah, this is weird. That whole, like, we're a lifestyle brand. We're a camera company.
Yeah.
Are you? Are you a camera company? Are you really?
They don't make any cameras. They've made other products before.
Well, the spectacles are camera-like.
But the spectacles are camera-like. It's first real hardware product. They've done other things before, but this is the first serious hardware product from Snapchat. CEO Evan Spiegel unveiled spectacles, a $129 pair of sunglasses with an embedded 115-degree lens. They say that makes it look the way the human field of vision looks. You can record up to 10 seconds at a time of rounded video.
I don't know.
Let's just stop right there. Now, I thought this sounded horrible because I was imagining that it would be a circle, but that's not what it is.
It's more like a 360 video.
Yeah, exactly. It shows up as portrait or landscape the way you normally would, but as you turn it, the picture doesn't turn. The field in the picture turns. So when it's landscape, you see more to the sides. When it's portrait, you see more above and below. But because it's circular, you don't lose the picture ever.
Okay, so it's circular, but it's circular expanded all the way out to basically 360 degrees.
Yeah, so you don't see the circle turn the camera the whole way, playing right. on the phone.
Right.
Now,
but you can imagine it as you tilt the camera around the way that you were just demonstrating right. on the video.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you turn all the way around, it does make a circle.
And you can go to spectacles.com and see that as well if you're listening mm-hmm. to the audio. But it's once you see it in action, you sort of wrap your head around, okay, circular video, rounded video. It's not showing up as a circle on your phone, though.
No.
Anyway, that's transferred by Bluetooth on iOS or Wi-Fi on iOS and Android to the Snapchat app. Spectacles are coming this fall in black, teal, or coral on a limited basis. They haven't really made clear how you're going to order them. Not everybody is going to be able to get one. But they are $129. This is not Google Glass at $1,500.
Yeah, this is like the price point is right, I think. My millennial sister-in-law had not heard of this yet. I'm sure she has heard more of it by now, but she's a huge Snapchat user. I use Snapchat a fair amount. I don't know if I want these, but I have to say, I don't find them hideous.
Okay, that's something that I am uncertain on. They look a little goofy to me, to be honest. But
are the lenses really going to be that color? Like, are the lenses like really as opaque looking as they show up in the pictures?
I don't know. They can't be, right? Like, they have to be more see through. But I guess they're sunglasses, and sunglasses are tinted, so maybe they will be. If you wear the blue ones, I assume you don't have to wear the blue lipstick that goes with it, as seen at spectacles.com.
I hope you do.
Or maybe you should.
I hope that's how you unlock the glasses.
Okay, I'm going to put it this way. The style of these glasses looks like something that I could imagine my friends would buy and look good in, but not me.
Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe just a black pair. They kind of just remind me of like rounded like Ray-Bans or something. And I do worry that this will be a thing that will get stolen off of people's faces.
Off of people's faces, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, people were getting Google Glass like slapped off their face or stolen or ripped off their face in bars.
Okay, so that brings up a good point.
We could have some of this.
The way you know someone is recording is a light goes on that faces mm-hmm. out as well as one that goes in so that I know I'm recording. Everyone else knows I'm recording. I have to tap on the left corner of the glasses to start them recording. And they're limited to 10 seconds. So that could ameliorate some of this. where you know, like, oh, he tapped, it's 10 seconds, and then he has to tap again or it won't record.
Well, what does that have to do with getting it stolen off your face?
Because Google Glass, you just started and it would just go, right?
Oh, okay. So, you're saying, like, yeah.
People started to assume it was just recording all the time.
That's right.
Whereas with...
But I mean, I'm more talking about this as a luxury item that now, especially if they're doing a limited release, not everyone is going to have. And it's a very obvious product. It doesn't look like anything else there on the market. It's not like a pair of Warby Parkers that just happen to have a camera built in that you can't see from the outside. So it has the benefit of being very obvious because people know when you're using it, and so they don't feel that like safety or security issues. But they're also bad obvious in the way that people are like, oh, those are those new Snapchat glasses. I'm gonna steal them.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm gonna rip those off someone's face. So. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if the actual theft will be so widespread as the animosity.
I think that
may be part of it too.
Snapchat, I'm just thinking about Pokemon.
Snapchat says they have more than 60 million daily active users in the U.S. and Canada, 40% of their total 150 million worldwide. They have 50 million active users in Europe. So basically 110 of their 150 million users are Europe, U.S., and Canada. As a comparison to that 60 million number in U.S. and Canada, Facebook has 175 million. So the user number is rising. People are using Snapchat.
Yeah.
I assume that they're doing this kind of as a promotional aspect, though. They say limited number of glasses.
Maybe.
Like, I think it's just meant for some people to talk about, not everyone to have.
It's just kind of too bad also that it only works for one app. You know, like if they really did want to be like a quote unquote camera company,
right?
They would allow you to use this for apps other than Snapchat too, one would assume. So who knows? It just feels like they're limiting themselves. If they did want this to be a true hardware release, I understand why they would at least start with Snapchat as being the only app it works with. But it is kind of short-sighted.
I see what you did there.
Product thinking wise.
Yeah, maybe they'll open it up though. Maybe it starts as Snapchat and then the second version comes out and it works with, you know, your phone in general. And it's got better integration if you're using Snapchat, but the images could be captured by other things. There is some storage on this. If you aren't connected to your phone, it can store a certain number of snaps.
That doesn't tell
you how much. You know what? Now that you've put it this way, I'm starting to think of this more, like Google Glass in that it is an experiment. It's limited, way cheaper, but it is meant to see what kind of uses people put them to, perhaps as a way to inform the next round.
Right.
I wonder if they'll be doing an application process for it.
Yeah, like didn't they do that for Google Glass too?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't do that, Snapchat.
Don't do that.
Was one of the reasons there was a backlash, is because it felt like you had to know someone or be connected. Because
then you'll just have a photo of Robert Scoble in the shower wearing spectacles.
Yeah, at least that one will only be 10 seconds long. We talked about Uber putting into place on Friday a system that requires the drivers to match up their picture with the picture on file to discourage account sharing. Got a couple of emails here from folks. First of all, Sakani, who writes our column called Your Private Driver at DailyTechNewsShow.com, reminded people, Uber or Lyft or whatever, that if the driver or vehicle that arrives to pick you up doesn't match the driver or vehicle shown in your app, cancel the ride and report the driver, and don't get in the car. He said it's a pretty big safety risk, and he's written about it previously. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. If multiple drivers want to share a vehicle, he says there are legitimate ways to do this, whether it's separate accounts attached to the same car or sub-accounts under a master business account. Just handing the keys off to someone else is not acceptable, and it should result in the deactivation of that driver. I believe that if more riders were aware that account sharing is a reportable offense, I wouldn't have to risk being locked out of my legitimate account because I don't have enough light around to properly capture my dark skin tone in a selfie. And yes, this has actually happened, so I'm a little bit salty, says Sakani. We're not laughing because it happened. That's awful, and I'm sorry you got locked out, man. And then S, who would like to be anonymous, wrote, as a former Uber driver, I am all for this photo verification, but what I would really like is photo verification for passengers. One of the reasons I stopped driving is the switch and bait for passengers. I'd get a request from Sally and then get there where I met John or her boyfriend who doesn't have an account. Now, I should cancel on principle, and I have a few times, but other times, if it was a quick drive, I'd pick them up and take them to their destination. I shouldn't lose money for someone's fraudulence.
Interesting. See, that is, I have done that many times. I have sent Ubers to pick up my friends if I was going to, you know, like a, for any number of reasons, or I've ordered Ubers for friends who don't use Uber to get them home safely, or, you know, I've had them, I've done that, and I never thought of that as being fraudulent. In my mind, I was like, I'm taking a chance on my friend or acquaintance to not do anything stupid to lower my score. So for me, I'm putting my own reputation on the line by saying, I know that if my Uber goes and picks up Megan, she's going to be a good passenger because I'm going to be the one suffering for her behavior.
Megan, yeah, when, if it was Naomi, I don't know.
If it was Naomi, I know that's a totally different story, but inside baseball. But yeah, it's so I never thought of that as being a fraudulent issue. I have also called the Uber drivers before after they accepted the pickup and been like, hey, listen, it's not going to be me you're picking up. It's going to be my friend or whatever. I usually try to let them know, and that's always been fine.
Yeah. Interesting. I had this when I was working on a shoot in Seattle. Where the company would just buy an Uber and have it come pick us up at the hotel and bring us to the office. And the person who ordered it was never around. One time we had a driver who refused and we had to call another car. Since then, Uber has put in a way for companies to be able to have master accounts like that so that they can do that more efficiently. But there really isn't an easy way, unless you go to that trouble to set up a company account, to be able to do that. And even then, if somebody's not working for your company, they're not necessarily going to be in your list. And so that becomes an issue. It would be nice if there was an elegant and safe way for you to say, yes, I would like to order. Maybe it would require the person you're ordering for to have an account to say, like, maybe. I would like to order Veronica an Uber. Here's her account. So you can verify it's her. And yes, I'm paying, but it's for this person.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that would require everyone to have an Uber account, which on from Uber's perspective is probably good.
Yeah, right. It wouldn't work in all cases though, right? If I want to send an Uber to pick up my mom, she's not going to sign up for an Uber.
Or account. Your kid. Like, I mean, people send their kids to school in Ubers. I'm sure that's got to be a thing that happens, right?
Is that a thing?
Right?
Yeah. I can't imagine it's not. But
someone's had to
have
done that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But in that case, I would definitely want to give an account, get an account for the child. No? If you're under 13, can you get an account?
I don't know. Yeah, anyway, teenagers use it though, so you must be able to.
Well, yeah, I mean, 13
over
is the
13,
COPA,
yeah.
Is the COPA limit that where you can't collect certain amounts of information about people. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation, and big thanks to our anonymous former driver and to Sakani for writing in and sharing some of their insight into it. And that's it for this episode of the Daily Tech News Show. Thank you, Veronica Belmont.
Of course.
This is a fantastic opportunity for you to tell folks more about what's going on with you.
Oh, well, if you would like to check out the company I work for, you can go to growbot.io. We're going to have a new website up very soon, and I'm excited about it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm heading up that design process, which is cool. And if you want to, if you happen to have a Slack team or a company on Slack and want to check out Growbot, head to growbot.io and ping me on Twitter, and I'll send you some tips or help you walk through it, whatever you're interested in. And as always, you can check out at Veronica or at Sword and Laser to see what we're up to on our other podcast, Sword and Laser.
Yep. Check out me and Veronica at least, if not more, twice a month, talking about science fiction and fantasy books and reading them as well along with you. Thanks to everybody who supports this show. We exist entirely based on whether you want us to or not. If you do want us to, go to dailytechnewsshow.com/support to find out how to keep us going. And huge thanks to everyone who already does. We have an analyst hangout that will be happening tomorrow. If you are at the $5 a month level or more, you can find out the details at patreon.com/DTNS. If you're below the $5 a month level, we'll put the link out after it's done live. You'll be able to watch it on demand, as will everyone else in a couple of days. So go check that out, patreon.com/DTNS. And if you're one of the people who says, you know, sometimes there's just There's just not enough time in a day to listen to all the DTNS I want. You can catch the headlines at dailytechnewsshow.com/subscribe. Get daily tech headlines. So it's at dailytechheadlines.com as well. And we'll give you in less than 10 minutes a day all the headlines you need to know. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. You can catch the show live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com. Back tomorrow with Patrick Beja. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Boom.
Whee.
Good show.
Yeah.
Spectacles, tech, news, watch and wallet.
Snapple. Oh, snap.
Showbot.tv has the headlines. If you're wondering where we're getting these, we're not making them up. They're coming from you. If you're watching live, you can go vote and submit. Showbot.tv. Snapholes is pretty good.
I also do like, where was the other one?
Google's Andromeda strain. Nice, I see.
The glasses gaff full.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Looks like Snapholes is pushing ahead.
Prince will come. Because Disney, I get it.
That's cute.
The right to free breach. High concept there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Blue lipstick optional. I like that.
That's cute. That was cute.
Snapticles. Self-esteem not included. Snapchat spectacles. Self-esteem not included. Snapchat spectacles. Not hideous.
Not hideous. I look like Snapholes is pulling.
Oh yeah, it's running ahead with it. All right,
that's
fine. Yep.
All right, fine. We both go.
Fine. Your genius idea will win.
All right. Cool.
All right. Well, Veronica, I assume you have to go back to work, but thank you as always.
I do. Have a great day. Good luck with the rest of your Roger free time.
I miss him so much.
I miss him. So sad.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Bye.
So it's just me, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm still levelating, so I'm just going to chat with the chat room for a little bit while we wait. Stoic Squirrel, I admire your commitment to spreading Snapholes as a thing. Sergeant Muffin starts the hashtag free Roger. Free him from his car that he's stuck in with his kid and wife right now, driving back to San Francisco. Thank you, BioCow, for thanking us. I'm glad you think it was a great show. I am fascinated by this Snapchat. I still am not sure what to make of it. I don't know whether it's a brilliant way of getting people talking about Snapchat or whether it's a just kind of like an irrelevant idea. Strike It Rich, why is Roger moving? We might talk a little more about this on the Hangout tomorrow morning. Roger has a family thing with his wife, and so they're going to be moving in with his wife's dad, and they were looking for a house. Yeah, the Geeko 7 can't get over an app company is somehow now a camera company. These spectacles are the first camera that I think they can legitimately claim. And it's not, it's really more of a device to snap with. Maybe a photography company, but a camera company? We shouldn't quote them on that. I don't know if they actually said camera company particularly. Dark Redeemer did not think it was a great show. He thought it was a stupendous show. Thank you, sir. Tinvec likes the new video format. They're eliminating the care for landscape/portrait. Oh, yeah, the rounded video is interesting. I at first thought that was one of the stupidest things about this, and then when I realized what they were doing with it, I changed my mind. Because it actually, I don't know that it solves the portrait landscape controversy, but it certainly minimizes it. If it doesn't really matter what orientation you're holding your phone in, then that controversy just kind of goes away. I love that. Oh, geez. The guy who supposedly drilled a hole in his iPhone 7. That's hilarious. I'm exporting the show now. Back to the early days of DTNS when I just talked to you alone while I exported the show. Dark Redeemer wants to imagine movies filmed in the circle so that that's interesting. So if I rent a movie, I can watch it on my phone, portrait or landscape. I don't know that I need that, but it's fascinating to know that I could. It's sort of like when they edit for a screen, when they edited for 4:3 and you'd lose parts of the picture. Sometimes that is honestly a problem, but if it's shot that way intentionally. Beatmaster asks if there's any chance to see Jenny J23, Jenny Josephson, one of these days. Hopefully, if all goes well, she's going to be able to join us on the Analyst Hangout tomorrow because it's a good time of the morning for her at Marketplace. So yeah, I actually met with Jenny yesterday at LA Podfest. We sat down and got a chance to talk, catch up for a little while. She's doing great. I think the first time I see a rounded video in my feed, I'm just going to be like turning my phone back and forth for quite a long time. What is it, Brian Brushwood? I am live on the internet. Yeah, we're done. It's post show. A lot of you don't realize Brian lives with me and Eileen. He's just it's upstairs. True. Yeah, all that Austin. That's just a green screen. Yeah. Austin stuff. Shall I mute for this, or do you have a question?
No. Okay. No, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that was a triumphant nap. I laid down. I started reading that Nobel Prize winning article.
You started reading that economics article I gave you to go to sleep. It put you right to sleep. You're like, it worked. It's perfect. Thank you, Nova. Nobel Prize winner for sleep.
Exactly.
That's awesome. I'm just exporting here. I'll be done shortly.
Awesome.
Captain Jack 913 asked, night attack in L.A.? N-A, he actually wrote N-A in L.A.?
N-A in L.A.?
Yes, indeed he do. In fact, Justin Robert Young will be here, too. I don't know how we're going to pull that off, but we'll figure it out. Yeah, we did that one time, didn't we?
Yeah.
Oh, I think we had you sit here and Justin and I cozied up or something. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Well, we did with Andrew. We did weird things with the whole couch. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Even if it's just a static shot, just a one shot of.
Did you know that the sandwich once had the reputation of being merely a food item that gamblers and drinkers used?
It was so convenient.
Yeah. Because they were the first to adopt it because it was convenient. And they're like, well, sandwich, that's what those gamblers and drinkers is. So I declared it the official sandwich of Night Attack.
The sandwich is the official sandwich of Night Attack?
Or is the official food of Night Attack. Sorry. Yeah, that makes more sense than the sandwich is the official sandwich of Night Attack.
That's like one for one representation.
Also, Night Attack, the official show of Night Attack.
Exactly.
All right, I am ready to upload. Thank you all for hanging around and watching. You guys are the best. Go and spread the love, and we will talk to you on Corn Killers later today at 4:00 Pacific or on DTNS tomorrow. Goodbye.